Join me in the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, members.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Mr. Joseph?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
She's coming.
Ms. Nackasy?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa? Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Ms. Chak?
Here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Kaplinka-Lair?
Here.
We have 13 members present.
Thank you. We have a presentation, actually a reading by Poet Laureate Paul Hamill. Paul, here. No?
Stored.
Okay. Still looking on that last verse. We'll move on. If you can join us later, we'll get it in. Privilege of the floor for the public. I have a sign-in sheet from Michael Lane. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, folks. Mike Lane from Dryden. I read with sort of disappointment that Tim Joseph is going to be leaving the county legislature. And I wanted to stop because I had the privilege of serving with him for a number of years here. Tim had an excellent way of dealing with issues. He was a good chair of the board. He and I differed on some things, but I always respected him as a thoughtful, careful person and who was an effective member of our legislature. Tim, I don't know where you're going or what you're going to be doing, but you did a lot for Tompkins County, and we wish you well.
Thank you, and I'll tell you the rest in a few minutes. The rest of the story. Anyone else wish to speak? Peter Meskel.
Thank you, Mike. Tim, I've got a couple things for. I couldn't let this moment pass without doing anything, so I had to hide it in the holiday bag. But first of all, seeing how you're most proud of not having the jail, we want to remind you, JSTF got together and we got you a black and white bag with Robinson Textiles 800 number in case you need to order supplies. And let's see, we have a few of the, what I would call the normal things. Not sure if you're going in a warm or a cold climate, but we figured a turtleneck with a thank you note attached would be a reasonable thing to give you. Let's see what else do I have in here. It's almost like Santa Claus. The proverbial sheriff's cup. I think I may have given you one a long time ago, but
you did.
Then you can give this to your wife. She probably deserves it after all these years of living with you as chair of the board and member of the legislature. Not as living. And depending on where you're going, you know, I know you always have this thing for footwear. So if you're in warm climate, we have some grade A, number one jail-issued flip-flops. And seeing how Mr. Witcher's always after me about money, you have used Skippy Bobos. These are what we call Skippy Bobos. These are the wintertime type of issues, except for severe climate. So I want to make sure you get these. And then on a serious note, I would like to thank you for your service. I came on the board shortly after you appeared, and I really enjoyed working with you, most especially on the budget, for your ability as a chair of the budget a long time ago to get to the bottom of issues, devise solutions, and make a big difference. And what I think still is a pretty good policy, and the policy that still serves us well to this day, almost 14, 15 years after that was first developed. So thank you for all that.
Anyone else from the public wish to speak? If not, we'll move to privilege of the floor for legislators. Tim Joseph.
Thank you. About an hour ago, I got the okay to go ahead and announce that I am being appointed regional director of state parks for the Finger Lakes. And the parks are one of the precious possessions of the citizens locally and statewide, and it's an honor to be given responsibility for them, and I expect it to also be a lot of fun, which perhaps is a distinguishing a way to distinguish it from this job. But that's well, I've never been told in this job that I have to go out to the park. You can, you got to get out of your office and go to the park and see it all. So I'm looking forward to that. They actually did say that they hired me for a lot of the things Peter mentioned, budgeting, planning, overseeing people and getting people to work together. And I want to invite, I'm going to have an office in Tagannock Park, and you're all welcome to come visit my parks and and come see me in my office.
Congratulations. Martha Robertson.
It's hard to know what to say after that, but there will be a number of times we'll raise a glass to you, Tim, but really want to thank you for everything that you've done for Tompkins County, for the people, for sort of opening my eyes to a lot of things I hadn't thought about before you said them. I think we've all learned from you and appreciated your leadership, and we'll miss you. So folks who are going to be helping to set up the goodbye party, maybe we can meet later and pick a time for that committee meeting to get started. We probably want to find out from you, Tim, when you might want to get together. So you need to be there at the beginning of that committee meeting, and then you'd be released. Then moving on, because it's what we do, I just wanted to mention the an annual meeting that workshop that's open to the public that happens every year about this time on the New York State budget. It's a great workshop run by the Fiscal Policy Institute. This is Thursday, February 28th from 4 to 6 to be held this year in the Ithaca Town Hall. And Frank Morrow, Executive Director of Fiscal Policy Institute, is speaking, as well as Ron Deutsch, Executive Director of New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness. That's 4 to 6 on February 28th, open to the public. And that's a really great overview of the budget and alternatives to what's being proposed. Thanks.
Frank Porto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim, I'm going to miss you too, surprisingly enough. I know you and I have sparred a little bit over the years, but a lot of it's been friendly fire.
Some of it.
A lot of it. But one of the things that I was glad to hear, because you had quietly mentioned some of this to some of us earlier and swore us the secrecy, but I think it's appropriate to make a public announcement now that the first issue that Tim told me he wanted to tackle, he was taking it back out of the hands of the city, and he was going to tackle the issue of the dog park and how it relates. That's what you told me.
It'll take a couple weeks. But
at least. The other issue that Tim and I have, I think we're the only two surviving members on this board that remember that the increase in the sales tax quite a few years ago was only supposed to be temporary until we restored the fund balance. And Tim has had this thought over the years that it was not supposed to be temporary. And he's prevailed for some time.
Except he's leaving and you're not. You still have a chance.
And that's what you took the words right out of my mouth, Martha, as usual. Now we're going to have an opportunity to revisit the sales tax increase. And boy, do I miss Nancy Schuler. Please don't take that personally. But Nancy and I used to buddy up on that one all the time. But Tim, good luck in your new position. Please make sure that we all get our park passes on time, and I think you'll have some sway over that.
I hope so.
We'll be up to see you.
I think that just everybody who has heard about the new position wants either a park pass or a job.
Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Mike. Tim, I've been here 2 years, and it's been a real pleasure to work with you and for you as the chair, and I appreciated the confidence you had in me to appoint me to a couple of chairs for jobs here in the county. But I think the most important thing that I was able to do as a legislator was to say to people, what do you do after these meetings that you have? And they said, well, we go home. And I spent 13 years on the city council, and we never went home after the meetings. and so it occurred to me that we should go someplace else and talk it over, so to speak. And you came along the first time really easily, but the second time you were going to be reluctant about coming along. And what I appreciate is you came anyway. And I think that was important, that we were able to at least have a bunch of people around talking about things after a meeting. And you were there, and it made a big difference in having you there.
Well, Jim, your taste in locations was a little expensive for me, but when I found out you were picking up the checks,
well, yeah,
I decided that was okay.
Exactly. I mean, what else am I going to do with this? You know, when you're an ex-teacher, are you listening, Frank? And when you're an ex-teacher and you have this great retirement, and, you know, county legislature money is house money, you know, basically. So I'm not looking for a comp pass or any of that, but I may buy a boat. Yeah, so that could be helpful. At any rate, it's been really very good having you here, and I think you've done a wonderful job for Tompkins County. And I'm going to say the same thing everyone else says. We differ on things, not me personally on some things, but I think you've always explained your position well, and explained options, and that is really good in a legislator, that they can see both sides and bring people together around points. So I know, I don't want to say good luck to you in your job, because, you know, that job is a great job.
Just getting it was a good luck.
Yeah.
That already had that.
So, you know, just have a wonderful time up there, and they're going to be very lucky to have you.
Leslin.
I have nothing flurry to say about you. That's everybody else's job. But gosh, I don't know how long I've known you. It seems like everywhere I show up, you're there. But at any rate, I just want you to know that you're probably the worst mentor a girl could ask for as a legislator. Probably the only other person I know who is shyer than I am. But I appreciated you, and I say you're the worst mentor only because you say things and we sit and we talk about stuff, but then you're so stuck in your ideology, and I'm thinking, did we just have this conversation? Was I supposed to go that way? I'm thinking maybe I should have thought something differently, but we always ended up somehow, not all the time, on opposite ends, and I'm thinking, well, this guy's supposed to be mentoring me as his vice chair and legislator and so many other things, and it didn't work out well. So don't mentor anybody else.
Well, now you've got someone else to try it with.
Well, I'll try it with somebody else. But Tim, you've been a good friend and a good colleague. I really do appreciate you, and I'm going to also say that I really do appreciate Lenny, because, you know, through the both of you, there's so much I've learned, there's so much I've been a part of a community. Sometimes I don't think I would have been a part from showing up and hanging out in your backyard, mosquitoes and bugs and everything else, to, you know, coming and looking at the longhouse, something I didn't know about. So just all of it, that aside, I really do admire and appreciate your passion for standing up for what you believe in. There are times you've fallen down, and I made no bones about letting you know, but you were always great about saying, yeah, you know what, you're right. I see it differently, I admit. I really appreciate that. And that goes a very long way for me. And I really do appreciate your friendship. And I'll see you at the park. I'm going to be there visiting when I want to get away from work. I'm not going to lie. I will be there. But thank you.
Anyone else? Carol?
Tim, I've had the pleasure of studying with you in the past as a planning student. And you've been you were an inspiration in my decision to join the board, the legislature. I'm sorry that I won't have the opportunity for more than this brief period to be studying in this context together as time goes on. I feel a little bit like two ships passing in the night here. I'm not looking for any handouts from the park, but I am hoping to have the opportunity to come walk with you and still think through some issues together if we can lure you out of your office for those walks. And I have some equity issues to bring to you related to parks. So good luck.
Nathan Shinagawa.
Thanks. excuse me. Tim, whenever people ask me, you know, what's it like to be in, you know, in politics and working with all those county legislators that are way older than you are, no offense to anybody, right? And, you know, and they think of these guys and, you know, in their suits and everything, that are very removed from, you know, the everyday goings on of everyday people. And I always use you as the example of just to, you know, to show how down to earth and real our government is, especially here in Tompkins County. And I tell them, well, you know, our county, when Tim was chair, you know, our county chair, he doesn't like shoes. he you know, just bought like one of his first suits just a couple months ago, and also he rides his bike to work and back to work every day. I mean, that's just a few examples of, you know, a guy that just lives what he believes, and I don't know about what the lack of shoes shows in terms of your beliefs, but you know, but I always just use you as an example to show how different you are, and in such a great way, and how you have always kind of embodied what I would like to see out of a government, in terms of one that's that works at the grassroots, that can relate to everyday people, and I owe you personally a lot. I think that in my first year, I was not really that interested in healthcare issues at the moment. I mean, I had been interested in healthcare, but not passionately. And there was an issue, the fair share for healthcare issue, that you gave to me and said, you know, I think it'd be really cool if you worked on that. And after doing that, it completely, I mean, it changed my life. And now I'm, you know, following, I'm doing a health administration degree, following health policy religiously. And really, I owe that direction all to you. So thank you. But I will miss, you know, just how reasoned and fair-minded and honest, you know, you are. I think that... that we're all at a loss here at the board without you. So we'll miss you. But and one final thing, now that I'm going to grad school again, I will need a summer job, so lifeguard, I'm thinking, you know, but we'll see. Thanks.
Thank you. Tyke?
I'm not sure where to go with it, but I think from being a business person that, you know, I found out a long time ago that the best advertisement is word of mouth. And I thought maybe I would let you know that you absolutely were the point of conversation at the local diner in Groton this morning. So take that as you would like, I guess.
Mike Sigler.
Tim, I have to tell you, I couldn't help but notice that upon hearing of your retirement, Fidel Castro also said,
I'm on here, hanging it up. He couldn't go on without me.
I think that's a great credit to you, saving the world. I want to thank you. I think that, you know, despite the fact that we do not agree on many things, particularly national issues and international issues, I think locally we were able to come agreement on some things. And even when we didn't agree on things, I always felt that you acquitted yourself very well. And I hope I was able to do the same for you. I don't think I did as good of a job, though, as you did on certain issues. But I did want to say that to you, that I always felt that you knew your facts, you knew what you were talking about, and despite the fact that maybe we can't agree on some things, we always were able to kind of agree to disagree. I always hated that phrase, but I always felt that you knew what you were talking about, and I did gain a lot from those discussions. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that you do help me see the other side, and sometimes I still won't agree with it, but at least I understand where you're coming from. And the people that voted for you, I felt that you represented those people very well. You obviously had in mind what they were thinking. So I think there's a great deal to be said about that, and I felt that you also included the Republicans in the debate at times that maybe you didn't even need to. And I felt that that was good, that still in Ithaca, despite the fact that I think sometimes a variety of views are not heard, I felt that at least in this chamber, you let that other side be heard more often than not. So thank you.
Julie Kiefer.
Tim, I believe your birthday is in the first half of November, is that right?
That's right.
So you're a Scorpio. So I looked up today's paper, and it says, you're introduced to newness that mentally stretches you. Your mind is traveling, even if your body is staying put. The world is a more exotic and varied place than you dreamed. And that's enough to make me believe in horoscopes.
Was that dated last year? Because there was a lot of mind traveling happening last year.
I'd certainly like to add my two cents, Tim. I would call this actually a historic night. I mean, in terms of 15 years of service, 6 years as chair, you've really been able to make a lot of things happen. Your ability to analyze issues and make it very sensible for people from a variety of persuasions, I think, has been exceptional. I do want to mention two topic areas I think you really brought together people and made things happen. I was very impressed on Public Safety Committee when you struck a subcommittee on what prevents crime. And you looked at federal studies and research and analysis, and you had people from across the aisle understanding where to make investments that would diminish crime in our community. And you made it relevant, and you rolled out a strategy that many people have come to understand has been very successful. And you also took a lead on putting a cap on Medicaid. And that, I believe, actually started a statewide movement that was incredibly successful, one of the few times that the citizens' voices were heard in Albany in a way that indeed put a cap on and increased the momentum regarding not pushing things down to the county level regarding property taxes. So those successes, I really do attribute to you, and I thank you for that. We will miss you. We're really glad to have you around locally to lean on for advice from time to time. So thanks again. Tim.
I have to say thank you for all those nice things that everybody had to say. Would have appreciated a little more compliance and following of that terrific leadership during the past. But it's nice to hear it, and I do want to say that all those wonderful qualities that you've just attributed to me, they exist in all of you too, and you will miss me personally, but you are all capable of doing anything I did.
So 1, 2, 3, we'll all go aw. I think Frank had a business item he wanted to bring up on the privilege of the floor.
Before I do that, Tim, Jim Blizzard just poked his head out there. We have to do this all over again because he forgot to put in the tape. So I know you'll want to tape this meeting. My consumer minute, and not nice egg tonight, Jim. I know. Don't forget the public meeting is coming up, so I expect to see you there.
I have it on the calendar.
Have you got it on the calendar?
Yeah.
I want to just remind you that a number of years ago, Stu Stein and I helped bring to recognition the fact that anyone purchasing items over the internet and from out of the community often did not pay a sales tax, and that was a detriment to our local businesses and often our local sales tax collections, and it does sift down into impacting local jobs as well. A week or so ago in the Ithaca Journal, and I'm sorry, Tim, it was not your article, the other Tim. Governor Spitzer had outlined a plan that would set the stage for collecting online taxes online from companies that had an installation, up to now, it's only companies that had an installation in the state of New York. This would carry to any company that did $10,000 worth of business or more in the state of New York that did not necessarily have an installation here. And that could mean a lot to communities throughout the state. So I just, as my consumer minute tonight, just think about how many things any one of us buy when you're using a computer. Of course, you know I'm computer challenged, so it's always an experience for me. But I hope that as this gathers some momentum, that you'll support the efforts of the governor to see that this comes to fruition. Thank you.
Tim Joseph.
I just want you all to know that I am now totally supportive of this piece of the governor's budget and every other piece.
Here we go again, right? The meeting's not over yet.
Anyone else wish to speak? If not, we'll move on. I don't think I see a municipal official for reporting. And we don't have a special topic. Under Chair's report, I'll just thank Nathan Shinagawa for organizing a meeting last Friday with representatives from Senator Schumer's office. Six of us, six legislators plus Steve Witcher, were able to meet with her, and it was a very productive meeting in terms of responsiveness, conversation around really substantive issues. I tried to summarize some of those topics for you today on email, and I'll see if I can get a paper copy to you, Frank. And I did have a chance this afternoon on very short notice to meet with Representative R. Curry, Congressman R. Curry, and a representative from his staff, and I presented the same issues to them. It was on very short notice, but I pretty much duplicated what we presented. So we will try to set those kind of meetings up more, I think. It was very useful for getting our issues to them and hearing their perspectives as well on behalf of the county. Does anyone else who was at that meeting want to add anything? Julie.
Well, I spoke about energy, and that did not make your list.
Right.
And I will fill that in, and you can send it around again. And
okay.
I won't talk about it now.
Great, thank you. Chair's appointments. On the bottom of your appointment list, there are Workforce Investment Board appointments. Richard Bowman, Lee Dillon, Paul Gardner, Mark Coldren, Martha Turnbull to the Workforce Investment Board. And because of Tim's stepping down, I'll have to appoint new members of different standing and special committees. And so in your red folders, we have a new assignment list. But the significant changes are that Greg Stevenson will be chairing Public Safety, Mike Hattery will be chairing Government Operations, and Pam McAsey will be moving from Facilities and Infrastructure Committee to Budget and Capital Committee. And one more item. The reason I'm displaying a Ithaca is Gorgeous bumper sticker up here is we did have the loss of Howard Kogan, who is the I guess genius behind that slogan for Ithaca. And I think it would be appropriate to take a moment of silence in his honor. Thank you. We'll leave that for the duration of the meeting. Report from County Administrator.
I've got three items. One, first one is an apology on behalf of the county to anyone who's trying to get in touch with any of the offices downtown this morning. Our central phone switch went out, and no one could reach any of the offices for approximately 2 hours. So I'm glad that everyone were with us. I didn't hear any complaints or anything. Maybe no one called, but I think if you're wondering what happened to Tompkins County Government this morning, that's what happened. Also, we provided you with a citizen's guide to the budget, and that's available for the public. And for those of you who would like a pocket size edition, we also have a pocket size edition. So I'll pass that around. And Dooley will appreciate the size of the font. Also, the last thing I'd like to do this evening is to, it's really my honor to present a few words on behalf of the department heads and staff to Tim thank you for your outstanding career and contributions to everyone in Tompkins County, taxpayers, and all of us. I remember back when Barbara Mink called me into her office and said she was not going to be the chair any longer and that this guy named Tim Joseph was going to be. And I was more than a little bit upset. And she said, no, really, don't worry. You're going to really enjoy working with Tim Joseph. He's a man you can trust. He's incredibly honest, and I'm sure that you two will get along well. Well, I think she was absolutely right, but I think she sold you very short. You are truly one of the best people I've ever worked with. You're going to have to bear with me. I'm going to try to read this without getting too upset. I really enjoyed working with you tremendously. With the exception of that last statement that you made about the governor's positions, you are a person of the highest level of integrity. You're also a maverick, brave enough to stand to the principles you believe in despite the prevailing sentiments on the legislature or anywhere else around you. You stand up for exactly what you think is right, and you'll stand and fight until the fight is over, whether you win or lose. You're also you're a boss who selflessly gives credit where credit is due, and you weren't afraid to bring me in line when it was appropriate also, and I appreciated that. You're also a talented mediator. I sat in meetings when you were dealing with incredibly difficult situations between people and different politics, and I knew that I could never match your talent. You're a leader of unusual intellect, and you're a chair that ensured that all voices were heard at all times. I think everyone here appreciated that. And you're going to have to meet me up here for this. On behalf of the department heads and all staff in Tompkins County, I present you this and several cards and the state card. Okay?
And thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Nathan, he left his shoes over here.
Thank you, Steve. County Attorney.
Okay, one brief note on a follow-up to the Bolton Point lawsuit and the various articles on that. Bolton Point did actually pay the money. It's $14,650, so that should end that. I was going to say a lot of nice things about Tim, and I made like a checklist that by the time there's nothing left. But I will say I'll miss Tim. I'll miss his intelligence, his ability to understand and to explain various points of view. And Tim is always entirely straightforward and honest and has always been great to work with. And we'll miss him, and the legislature will be diminished by not having you on. And that's my report.
Thank you, Jonathan. David Squires, Finance Director.
Well, I want you to know, Tim, that Tompkins County is underserved in golf courses at state parks. So we're expecting big things from you. I mean, I got to go all the way to Sampson to play golf on a state course.
I thought when I got three golf courses along with the package that I'd have to take up the sport. It didn't occur to me that that wasn't enough.
But there's a sledding hill in Taganic that would be a much better golf course. You know the story.
I wanted to bring up today's headlines. You noted about sales tax that was talked about counties and sales taxes and. And it was a little confusing in a sense because it was really referring to the sales tax income we got in the month of January, which I just received the information last Thursday. The good news is that it was correctly stated on the in the paper, the county did get 11% increase over last year for the month of January. It's January receipts, which on top of December, we had a double-digit increase in the month of December, which, you know, I could say that's probably unique in this country, that some positive economic news. There's stock market's not showing that, and retail sales have been, you know, good retail sales is having a positive a number compared to last year. but it actually was 11.4% in January. And what's interesting is this was the first month in a long time that the growth, there was a disparity of growth outside the city compared to inside the city. It grew 12% outside the city and 9% inside the city. And it's generally been about, a big wide disparity, maybe 2% outside the city and 8 or 9% inside the city. I also wanted to point out that on February 28th, the county is going into the financial markets to refinance an outstanding note for our federal. Well, we just had this big borrowing. There was an outstanding note that dealt with the federal highway financing programs. And so in the last financing, which closed in January, we anticipated paying part of that off. So this note is about pays off about $500,000 of $1.5 million borrowing on highway programs. And it'll be interesting to see how the interest rates are, because the bond markets are in real turmoil right now. And that's the extent of my report.
Any questions for David? Thank you.
Quick question.
Sure, Frank.
David, the sales that have been generated outside the city result in a larger distribution to the municipalities outside the city in that instance, because sales generated within the city gets to keep that piece. How does that compare to the same period last year for that period of time? Is that up from, did I hear you say that was up from last year?
Well,
The reason I'm asking is the distribution.
The month of January was up by 12% compared January to January, the one month, compared to last year. I don't know whether in January of last year compared to 2006.
When do the municipalities receive the distribution? How often is that distributed?
Well, now it's distributed monthly.
Monthly?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are there any agenda items to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? Dooley.
I have a resolution not on the agenda that I'd like to add. The title is In Appreciation of Tim J. Joseph.
Is there a second? Martha seconds. All in favor of adding that to the agenda?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. It's added. We'll get to that later on. Let's move on to the consent agenda. These are items, resolutions not expected to be controversial, that can be passed in a single vote, and I'll also read off the appointments. For appointments to the Environmental Management Council, Carrie Ann Mackey Cunningham. To the Soil and Water Conservation District, Dan Carey, Greg Stevenson. To the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, Dan Kanalawa. To the Library Board of Trustees, Susan Curry. To the Youth Services Board, Kathy Slaughter, Christopher Heyer. To the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Robert DeLuca. To the Emergency Communications Review and Oversight Committee, Greg Stevenson. To the Stop DWI Advisory Board, James Dennis. To the Board of Health, Greg Stevenson. To the Recreation Partnership, Jim Dennis and Frank Proto. Homeownership Oversight Committee, Pam McAsee. To the Water Resources Council, Carol Chalk. To the Traffic Safety Committee, Greg Stevenson, Jim Dennis, and Mike Hattery. Frank?
Before you ask for a motion to approve, I'm not going to embarrass the individual by mentioning the name, but I want, if you haven't taken a moment to read, or you haven't had time to read the appointments, we have one individual who has been in town 7 weeks that's being appointed, and I wanted to find out, and I will contact the appropriate advisory board, if this person has agreed to serve or live in Tompkins County for at least 5 years. before they re-up. I still have the same problem with individuals that this individual has not lived in the county. This individual is coming from another state, and when being appointed to certain committees or certain advisory boards, I still have a concern about the familiarity, not necessarily with the issue, but with the familiarity with the community that they're going to represent. I'm certainly not going to oppose this because I know how difficult it is to find individuals to serve, but I really want to draw your attention to the concern, and that I frankly think that we need to search a little bit harder before we appoint people who have been here 7 weeks.
And I'll move on to the resolutions on the consent agenda.
Well, we need to approve those.
We'll do them all in one vote.
Thank you, Bob.
From the Government Operations Committee, Resolution A, correction of taxes, Town of Ithaca. Resolution B, correction of taxes, Town of Newfield. Resolution C, correction of taxes, Town of Ithaca. Resolution D, scheduling a special election in District Number 12. Resolution E, scheduling a public hearing for the continuation and revisions to Agriculture District Number 2, west side of Cougar Lake. And Resolution F, acceptance of 2008 Annual Alternatives to Incarceration Consolidated Services Plan. And Resolution G, budget adjustments, various departments. Who'd like to move that? Frank Proto. And Tim, do you want to second as a kind of goodbye? Tim Joseph seconds. All in favor? Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. We're going to start with Government Operations Committee because we have a staff member here who probably wants to go home early. So, Greg, can you give us a report and move resolutions?
Sure. My report's actually a little longer than I would hoped it would be. We actually had a full agenda, and there's some things that I guess I think that you ought to be made aware of. Regarding the administrative manual maintenance team, they even have an acronym. They're the AMM team. I don't know if that's the AM team or whatever, but the team, which is made up of Kathy Covert, Norma, Doreen, Marcia, and Paula, have been working hard on policies. Of course, we saw policy in January, which we approved. But they're working with department heads to develop a prioritized list of policies and procedures to be updated. Once they have a prioritized list of policies and procedures in place, staff will begin the update process, which means around the 1st of April. Some of you may begin to see revised policy language coming to your various standing committees for review and approval. And the committee would like you all to please keep in mind that this is an ongoing activity towards reaching the goal of 50% update of this manual by the end of 2009, which is a tall order. Among the things they're doing is creating a new database for future tracking of policy and procedure updates, as well as new entries to the manual, and revising the various forms and templates posted on the county's intranet related to assist us all through the process. Thanks for all that work, all of you. During the meeting, we spoke about or received input from the administrator about several things, but one of those that I think is maybe more relevant than others is the administrator met with the election commissioners recently concerning the implementation of HAVA requirements as well as the need for housing of voting machines. And the housing is what's good for the current machines that we have isn't necessarily so good for the new machines we'll have. They're obviously quite different. The election commissioners believe they need around 4,200 square feet of storage space for the new machines, and the old library, the location to store the current machines, is clearly not an adequate site. So I think that's fairly significant. I think if your desk is like mine, you have some of these in front of you. They're information for property owners related to assessment matters. That's a very relevant topic right now. Marcia can get you in touch with more of these if you need them for constituents, so please feel free to apply them liberally. Let's see. One other item that should be on your desk is a list of polling sites. And the election commissioner spoke to us about current polling sites. There's 50 current polling sites, and the commissioners are looking at reducing that number to at least 45, and therefore hopefully only requiring us to need to purchase 45 new machines. That the consolidation of polling sites could affect any one of your districts and may be of interest, so I highly encourage you to review that document and see if there's any changes or proposed changes that you see, that you have input on, or that you don't see that you think may be relevant. The commissioners would love to hear from you. I think that's about it for my report. And the resolutions. I have a resolution I, appropriation from contingent fund and authorizing the payment to the Office of General Services of 5% matching funds for the purchase of ballot marking devices for each polling place in Tompkins County. And I so move.
Is there a second? Mike Hattery? Discussion. Julie Kiefer.
I ask that a substitute be put in the folders. Greg, did you have a chance to look at that?
I did.
And are you interested in moving that version yet?
We can.
Or I could, I could offer it as a substitute.
If you'd like to offer it as a substitute, I'm all for it.
Then that's what I'll do.
Okay. We need a second for the substitute. Frank Proto. Discussion on the substitute. Frank.
As I understand it, Dewey, this is simply clarification of the numbers, and Steve DeWitt provided a paragraph that addresses that, correct?
He provided much more information than what was just in the folders. I talked with him today. I wanted to make sure that the resolution had the actual purchase order price for the 45 machines that we're ordering, which is $531,695. That's the amount that of our total HAVA Title II funds that will be used for those machines. There will be a balance left. And I wanted to make sure that both numbers were in the resolution, so that's why it got revised.
Frank? Michael, Dewey, could you take just a minute? Not the public may not be up to speed on where we are with this. Could you, or maybe Greg, take a minute and just describe what this is about and what the substitute addresses?
Greg just referred to the fact that we will have about 45 polling places that will need one of these machines each. And the purchase order for them had the quote price was $11,500 a piece, plus additional bits of stuff that they need also. And the total that comes to is the $531,000 plus. But Tompkins County's share of HAVA Title II funds, which is for equipment and some other items, is $785,500-something. So we're not spending it all at the moment. There will still be a balance left for us as we discover the other things we have to do. So both the $531,000 and the $785,000 figures appear in this resolution now. That's the main change.
Is there further discussion? Are we ready to vote? It's a short form roll call.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recognized as no? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Move on to Resolution J. Greg?
Resolution J, approval of appointment to the Tompkins County Council of Governments. And so moved.
Is there a second? Leslie McBean Claiborne. Is there discussion? This is the revised version, Greg?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Any discussion? Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Point of information?
Sure.
I thought that on the previous resolution that we were voting on whether to substitute it or not. Because
I took it as friendly from Greg. The substitute was on the floor.
Well, okay. It wasn't originally, I don't think, but that's fine.
Oh. Do we have to vote on it again?
I don't know. I mean, did you find it safe as a friendly?
Yes. Yes.
The first vote?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So that was the main motion. Thanks for clarifying. So we're going to re-vote on Resolution J. All in favor? This Council of Governments.
Aye.
And opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes, I guess, 10-4. And we'll go back to the regular agenda. Leslie McBean Claiborne, Facilities and Infrastructure Committee.
No report. F and I will meet on Thursday.
February 21st, okay. Jim Dennis, Human Resources Committee.
Thanks, Michael. I would like to move Resolution H, which is ratification of bargaining agreement, Civil Service Employees Association, White Collar Unit. I would move that.
Is there a second? Pam McAsey. Is there discussion? Are we ready to vote? Okay.
Mike, as most folks know, my spouse is represented by the White Collar Unit, so I would ask that I be allowed to abstain from this vote.
Sure. Julie Kiefer.
I would like to add the word increase of before the words increase of before 3% to make clear that the changes we're making are actually a 3% increase.
Is that friendly to the mover and seconder? Jim?
Sure.
Okay. Slightly revised resolution. Are we ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? One opposed? And abstentions. Greg Stevens. It passes 12-1.
Thank you very much for that. I'm sure the White Collar Unit appreciates that. Further, there will be a HR meeting on, March 6th. And also, I'm asking Kathy Covert to send out 3 dates in the future that we could have interviews done with our county administrator candidates. And if you would respond to her, that would be, I would be forever grateful for that.
Forever grateful, all right.
Okay. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Move on to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. We met on February 14th, and there's a rather large resolution G, which passed on consent, has a rather large number and dollar number for workforce investment. And so we had a pretty long report from Julia Maddock because there was good news and bad news. So the good news is that we have received almost $164,000 to be spent in this calendar year as a bonus, as a plus, as a reward for having exceeded expectations on numbers of people served So there's, they had to submit a plan for the different kinds of projects that they could would use with that $164,000. That's listed in your very cryptically in your resolution G. But if you want any more information, you can ask me or call Julia. It's a great feather in their cap that they're able to get this money. They've got 12 different projects on which they'll use the fund. The bad news is that before Congress left in at the end of the last year, 2007, they voted an omnibus appropriations bill, which included, a short story is a cut in the federal system, workforce investment system, of about $250 million. Briefly, it seems the reason has to do with, it's complicated. It looks like the cut could be significant for New York State, so that $250 million is going to be spread among all the states, and New York's loss is probably going to be about $36 million. Most of that has already been spent because this is like a three-year budget window, funding window, and they're cutting retroactively. So she is not, Julie is not clear at this point how much is going to come down locally, but it could be pretty significant, and the cuts would have to be made by the end of June. The fiscal year is July 1st, June 30th. So she will keep us posted. It seems it's a real problem, and it seems there was a real misunderstanding, it's a kind way to put it, about the whether there was real, that there was extra money, so-called extra money in the workforce investment system, and there was a real misunderstanding at the congressional level. Don't know if it's possible to undo that, but it's a real good thing that we got the $164,000 on the other side. We had a long discussion about the work plan from the planning department, and discussions about Bixby, about the property at Bixby, and how to decide, and who should be involved in talking about the disposition of that land after the hospital, after the health department moves to Brown Road. So we also had an update on some exciting developments with Housing Affordability Trust and Housing Land Trust. A lot of things really ready to take shape. The housing strategy, if you remember, that we passed in June had four different sort of elements, four kind of to-do things on the list. The planning department is confident that by the end of this coming, by the end of this year, they'll have really done three of the four, and it's a big lot of work, and they've really moved things along very quickly. So, if there are no questions, I've got one resolution.
Any questions?
Okay, the resolution
Frank actually
had a quick question.
Martha, I just wanted to remind you about the Ag and Farmland Protection Board, mm-hmm. the Purchase and Development Rights meeting. Maybe you'd like to say something about that?
Go ahead, Frank, because it's on my somewhere buried here.
Okay, it's probably buried. Just a reminder to the board and the public, the Ag and Farmland Protection Board meeting is going to be Tuesday, February 26th. However, we've extended the meeting so that it, from 2 to 4 o'clock, there'll be a presentation and a discussion on purchase of development rights, because so many folks in the county have been very interested in it. And anyone who's got property that might be under development pressure that might fall into this category is welcome to come. It's going to be at Cooperative Extension on Willow Ave. February 26th, 2 to 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. That's in people's boxes. Resolution K, appointments to the Industrial Development Agency, and I so move.
Is there a second? Pam McAsey, is there a discussion? Are you ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? One opposed. Passes 13 to 1. That's the end of your report. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
onto Budget and Capital Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Thank you. The Budget Committee, at our last meeting, we finalized our budget calendar, and so go ahead and look at those dates and start blocking them off, save the dates. Also, we went over some of our goals, and I think we more or less finished them, and we've not only finished them, but we're going to begin talking about our goals and working on our specific goals at our next budget meeting. So the next budget meeting is going to address a few things, like how to change a local law. And we're also going to look and have a discussion about articulating the necessity of standing committee review of programs mid-year, and this as it pertains to the budget process. And we're also going to assess the role of standing committees in the budget process. So that's going to be a discussion that will be taking place at our next budget meeting. That's going to be next Monday, February 25th. At the last budget meeting, the big news was that we just had a We did a kind of state budget impact on Tompkins County kind of review, and it was a great discussion. Thank you again to Steve and all the department heads, Steve and Norma and all the department heads for sending that information to us and looking at the effect of the budget on the county. There's a few things. There's some good news. One of the big good news is the cap on preschool education, the preschool special education program that usually, or not usually, but has in the past ran us hundreds of thousands of dollars over what we had predicted. There's a proposed cap on that, so that's good news. There's some kind of iffy news. So, for example, the change in assessments. The governor is basically saying that if we go back to annual assessments, they'll provide something like $300,000 or $350,000 in state aid to us every single year if we go back to annual assessments. And if we stick with the triennial assessments, the $150,000 that we get every 3 years will dry up and no longer be the case. So that's a policy question that we're going to have to deal with in the future. Also, there's some concern that Steve raised in particular about the shift on the family assistance program. The state is moving a couple. Right now, it's 25% of the cost for that program is covered by the county, and in the governor's budget, they want to move that up to 27%. So that's a bit of a concern. But I mean, overall, I think that that's specific to the county, but there's a lot of other aspects of the budget that we need to consider. I think the budget's really great in the sense that there is that $1 billion fund to support upstate New York. There's also support for recruiting doctors to upstate and things like that that are very important as well. And so when we're looking at the budget, it's important to look at it from that more global perspective. And with that, I believe that is the end of my report.
Questions, Mike Sigler.
Did you get any sense that if we were still on the early assessment?
Yes.
Did you get any sense that they would have actually offered us more money to continue doing the 1 year, or now that we're on the 3 year, that they're saying, oh, well, if you switch back now, we'll give you even more money. Whereas if we had always been on the 1 year, they would have gone, hey, attaboy.
I think Steve can answer that question better than I can.
Although we think we're the center of the universe, we're not. It's a statewide policy decision that the new director of the Real Property Tax Services Office has put this proposal forward. The governor picked it up as part of his budget, which means it's a fairly powerful statement, just saying that this is something he really believes in and he wants this to be a policy issue moving forward. So this is the Office of Real Property Services and the governor saying this is what they want to have happen statewide, annual reassessment, and they're putting real money behind it, including the $320,000 for Tompkins County annually. In addition to that, they're sponsoring studies for moving counties to something like countywide assessing or cooperative assessing, something where you have at least 10,000 parcels in the assessing unit. So it's a major change in policy at the state level. It's not just Tompkins County.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. I kind of meant that if we hadn't gone to the 3 year, if we had just always been 1 year, I guess my question for you, did you get any sense that they would have boosted the money, or would they just said, hey, Tompkins County for doing what you're doing?
No, they would have just increased the money.
Oh.
Nathan, regarding dates,
yes.
Is one of those dates April 24th for our budget retreat?
Yes, it is.
And we want to make that a very, very key date in people's calendars?
Yes, yes. That's a good point. Yeah.
And actually, I just realized that I might have a potential conflict with him today. Now that I just thought about it. But I can change that, so it's all right.
Great. Any other comments or questions? Jim?
Not a question or comment. I just want to remind people, and I'm sure I don't need to, that the governor's budget is the governor's budget. The magic of the legislature has not been put on it yet. So while the governor's budget has pluses and minuses, I think it has more pluses than minuses for us, but county people should keep in mind what is best for the county. And I think what we should do is start a policy of, and if we haven't already done it, using our local legislators more than we have in the past and really lobby with them strongly, Republicans and Democrats alike, and let them know what we need in county government.
To that end, is Budget Committee considering a resolution of any import regarding particularly the 2% shift in social services?
Yeah, there's, we haven't discussed it as a committee yet. But my feeling, at least for me personally as budget chair, is that we should probably wait it out, wait a little bit just to see how the legislatures react. I mean, usually what's going to happen is that the state senate and the state assembly are going to have their versions of their budget or their take on the budget. And I think that it would be more useful to react to that point than it would be right now at this moment. But that's my thought. We could discuss that at the next budget meeting.
All right. Any further questions? On to Public Safety Committee, Tim Joseph, chair.
Public Safety Committee met last Friday and took up committee goals, and we established two goals for the committee. One of them was to look at the issue of transitional housing for people coming out of jail and prison and see if we can come up with, it's pretty widely recognized that lack of housing and difficulty in finding housing is one of the biggest barriers faced by people coming out of jail and prison, and that whatever we can do to help deal with that situation would be a big help in turning people around and heading off recidivism. So the committee will be looking into what are the various factors and options around that and see if we can come up with any solutions to improve that situation. The other goal we looked at was to look at Greg Stevenson's proposal to install AEDs, automatic electronic defibrillators?
Automatic external.
External defibrillator. In county buildings, in ways that are available to the public, similar to the way fire extinguishers currently are in most buildings. And we had that discussion Friday afternoon, and I went home, and my daughter came home and said that a friend of hers was pretty upset because he had just watched a man die in the locker room at the YMCA. A man had fallen over. He was standing there, didn't know what to do, ran out, got help. They came in with an AED, and they worked on it. They used that. They provided other first aid, but he said the man died anyway. On Monday, he called around to find out more about what had happened, and he learned that the man had, in fact, not died. He was alive. He was in a hospital, I think, in Syracuse in serious condition. But they said he was alive because he got such quick response from people who knew what they were doing and knew how to use that machine, and because one was available. So, Greg, pursue that goal.
Any questions for Tim? Thank you. We'll move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
No report. We'll be meeting next week.
Thank you. And Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee met on the 6th, and we had an interesting discussion led by Martha on the impact of her take on the governor's budget on health issues. I'd asked several of the committee members that had been to NYSAC if they could give us a little update, and that was, and not to go back over what Nathan described, but Martha gave us a very good report on that. The representative from Lakeview Mental Health Services, Mark Wickham, attended the meeting. We heard a presentation about affordable mixed-use housing on the outskirts. They're talking about on the outskirts of the city. This is a very preliminary proposal. They're discussing the possibility of mixed use, and they want to look for locations that are outside of the city simply because it would perhaps lend itself more to transition. So over the next, he's indicated that this was something that they'd be dealing with over the next year or so. It's something that Bob DeLuca was very interested in because of the integration, if you will, of individuals that are part of the mental health scene and also the individuals that would be receiving the care. So we hope to have another presentation. We invited Mark back later this year to give us an update on that. It's very preliminary, but it's also a very exciting proposal that he had. They're looking for 32 scattered sites within the county. And I'm sorry, there are presently 32 scattered sites, and they want to bring those out into the community more. We also had a discussion, albeit briefly, about the women and children's substance abuse, I'm reading this, Dependence Community Residence Project. Individuals who are transitioning from, women who are transitioning from drug-related programs, it sort of piggybacks on what Tim was describing, but these are individuals in a specific sphere that really need transitional housing, and that was also something that we're going to hear more of as the year goes on. I'm just going to give you highlights. You don't want me to read the minutes. Nancy Zaylor gave us a very, very good piece of very good news. The our youth group, Nancy's group, received a national recognition, I'm going to read this one, for Community Coalition for Healthy Youth. In the Northeast region, they were picked out of 700 groups. They were picked to present, and there's only five that are going to the Northeast regional competition. And Nancy, I was hoping, would be here tonight to give us a little more of a description of this, but it's quite an honor to have this recognition. And they're on their way, so to speak. And Nancy puts a lot of time in, as you know, on this type of thing. But it was nice to take a bow for a change. The last item I wanted to mention is the homework assignment for committee members and any departments that might be listening. We need to receive by this Friday, the 22nd, your ideas on goals for 2008. And I've asked each department to submit up to three key items that they'd like us to address during this year. So the 22nd, and if you miss the deadline, you're out of luck, because Nathan is going to develop the list. The next committee meeting is the 5th of March, 3 o'clock, and that's my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions? If not, before we move on, Nathan.
Oh, I have a SMSI quick report.
Sure.
Basically, the SMSI Health Insurance Group, we've been meeting on a biweekly basis, and just wanted to let you guys know about some of our progress. The second stakeholder meeting was held on February 14th, and that was with representatives from the municipal unions. And so, again, this is so that, you know, we're trying to make this process as transparent as possible. We're working with municipalities, working with unions, working with various stakeholders to all make sure that they have input in this process. The meeting was really well attended and well received. Also, we're going to be having the next stakeholder meeting
with representatives of the retirees from the county and the various municipalities. And that will probably be in the middle of March. We don't have that specific date yet. So again, talking to all stakeholders. The steering group is working on the potential benefit design now. So this is kind of what the exact types of packages that we're going to have available, like comprehensive plans or PPOs, those types of things. And we're also going to address how stakeholders will participate within the consortium itself. And so that will be part of our discussions in the next few weeks. In terms of TCOG, TCOG is going to release an RFP for the consultant of Phase 2, which is the benefit design, which is what the committee is beginning to work on. But we're going to have a consultant work on that so we can have that expertise there. And we're also going to release an RFP for the implementation phase, which is Phase 3. That's kind of the updates on that. We're meeting every other Wednesday. Our next meeting is tomorrow. Hopefully this will be a project that's going to help out a lot of people and save the county lots of money.
And there's a time change for that meeting? It's 11:30?
Yes, I believe it's 11:30 now. Yes.
Do we keep it?
So the meeting tomorrow is the one with retirees?
No. Our meeting tomorrow is just our regular consortium, the steering committee meetings. Okay. The one with retirees won't happen until the middle of March. And I'll let people know that.
And the Council of Governments meeting is Thursday, the 21st, at 1:30 over in Town of Ithaca Hall. Before we move on to minutes, I believe we have Resolution L to be moved. Julie, do you want to move that?
I would like to move Resolution L in appreciation of Tim J. Joseph.
And should we have a unanimous second? I think that we could do that. All in favor?
Read it. Would you like to read
it? Sure, I'd love you to read it. Make sure we got a pass first.
Whereas Tim J. Joseph was appointed to the Tompkins County Board of Representatives in March 1993, elected that November, and re-elected every 4 years thereafter, providing 15 years of service to Tompkins County, representing District 12, the western portion of the town of Ithaca. And whereas over time, Tim has served on every committee of the legislature, with the exception of Public Works, and for the last 6 years, 2002 through 2007, was elected annually by his legislative colleagues to chair the legislature. And whereas although Tim's dress style is casual, his approach to government has been anything but casual. And whereas Tim's ability to analyze and then explain complex issues, including summarizing different perspectives on those issues, has been invaluable for his colleagues and the public. And whereas Tim was central in redesigning the county's budget, helping lead us to a more transparent program-based budget. And whereas Tim inspired many of our state's counties to push back against New York State's unfunded Medicaid mandates, an effort that led ultimately to New York capping the rate of increase in county Medicaid costs. And whereas Tim's passion has been to figure out ways to help persons in trouble with the law break that pattern of behavior and find ways to rejoin society as productive members, which led him to champion alternatives to incarceration, and to resist the state's pressure to force Tompkins County to build a new jail bigger than we needed or could afford. And whereas his skill in producing handmade chocolate truffles never ceased to delight us all and should be appreciated by his new colleagues, he says in whatever his mysterious new endeavor is, I will change that to say, at Finger Lakes State Parks. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Tompkins County Legislature expresses appreciation for the leadership skills and the many contributions Tim Joseph has made toward the quality of life for citizens of our county. Resolve further that the legislature extends best wishes to Tim wherever life's path leads him.
Thank you all. And who would like to move the minutes from February 5th? Frank Proto moves them. Greg seconds them. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. No unfinished business. Motion to adjourn. Tim Joseph. Is there a second? All in favor? Aye. Thank you very much.